In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Roz Walsh, and Erin Shores as we take a deep dive into hearing and happiness. You will want your emotions recalibrated and your senses recalibrated after this episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, loyal listeners, and a very warm welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, here in my home in Glasgow. And I am joined in the studio at the end of the house with the two brilliances that are
Erin Shores
and Roz Walsh.
So back with the Canadians,
yeah,
and the Antipodeans, Australasians.
Indeed.
So
colonials.
Yes.
Yeah, the colonials.
Oh dear goodness.
Should we go there already?
We're there already. Something controversial, the colonials. Of which the Irish are as well.
Yeah.
But welcome friends, and welcome new listeners as we push around some thoughts that God has given us, what he's saying for your edification, exhortation, strengthening, that we might architect hope in your lives.
Amen.
Erin, can we just say you're looking very papal?
Papal?
Yes. The Pope, does he not always wear red socks?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yes, you're wearing classic red socks.
Classic fashion inspiration.
I can't say that I was inspired by the Pope. No offense to the Vatican, but I can't say that I look to them for my fashion.
For your fashion?
Yeah.
I think I'm quite glad that that's your answer.
Yeah, I would be a bit concerned if it was.
I don't know. I've seen some of your hats. I'm just saying.
Oh, no.
I'm joking.
Yeah, no.
Are you a closet mitre wearer?
Yeah. No, I love this French brand, Saison. And,
so do I.
Yeah, they are. If I could have everything Saison, I 100% would. I love their stuff. Yes. And so red socks with loafers at the moment.
Is that the French trend?
I think, yeah, that's what I'm picking up.
So you are like fashion forward here. Loafers, but they're not black loafers. They're, what would you call those?
I think like burgundy, oxblood.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that. So yeah, I'm just doing the prophet thing and pushing forward and looking a little bit offbeat, apparently looking a little papal, so taking the ministry thing a little too far,
fair,
possibly.
I actually have, this is a Cezanne bracelet.
Okay.
Are you wearing a Cezanne?
I have nothing Cezanne, but I would also like to say that Erin not only loves Cezanne, but even speaks French.
Well,
because of the French Canadian.
Yeah.
Is that why?
Well, yes, yeah, you have to learn French at school.
You're bilingual.
I would not say that I am bilingual. I have miserably lost a lot of it. So, but it can come back if under pressure.
Under duress.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but you learn Quebec French, which is not helpful in France.
So we have discovered when our French friends have met our Quebec friends, they actually laugh at each other's French quite rudely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just as an English speaker trying to speak French in either context, you don't win. You just never win because the Quebec don't really enjoy, they can tell that you're English trying to speak French, and the French generally can tell that you're English trying to speak French. And so both want to correct you, and you know what? It's fine. It's not my first language. I'm sure they're more familiar with it than I am, but I can't win.
It's very gracious of you.
Yeah.
Roz. What are your other languages like now we're on this?
I know. I was like heckling Erin. I was like, oh, no. So I can speak, shall we say, mediocre Japanese.
Mediocre Japanese.
I'm learning Japanese.
That is impressive.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
So I can read and write hiragana, katakana, and a couple of hundred kanji, but there's like 18,000 kanji. So there's a lot for me to learn.
Did you just start speaking tongues there?
I know, right? You lost Sorry.
There are three written alphabets for the Japanese language. And so I can read and write two of them, which only have around 30 characters each. But the third alphabet has 18,000 characters. And I can only do a couple of hundred of that one.
Amazing.
So there's a long way for me to go yet.
We're impressed. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my days. All right. Don't ask me. I can only speak tongues.
Fluently. fluently. Yeah. Don't even always understand what I'm talking about in tongues, to be fair.
That's the joy of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and Irish, English, Irish, and a bit of Scottish. Anyway, I really, when I travel the world, I do feel quite embarrassed at how pathetic we are as British people about languages. I've just come back from Mexico, and the Spanish was totally beyond any skill set I had. But anyway, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were Danny, who learned English in like 6 months or something ridiculous.
Phenomenal. And mm-hmm. Suzanne was traveling with me, and she just is a whiz with languages. She picks it up so fast. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. I mean, she's with me in the Netherlands. Now, she is Dutch. So she's speaking Dutch, which is so guttural and so like sounds painful. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you're spitting, expectorating with every kind of like breath, and then into the Latin kind of tongue, which is so romantic in Spain. I'm like, how do people do this? Mm-hmm. Anyway,
it's quite impressive.
It is. Mm-hmm. So, Roz, you've got some great thoughts to provoke us with once again, my friend. Push us spiritually.
Okay. So I am currently obsessed with wisdom, obviously. And I've been really looking at Proverbs. And so I went through, because I was like, I want to be a wise person. What do wise people do? And I went through Proverbs, and I realized Proverbs is a blueprint to build the life that you love. And I was like, this is amazing. And I started looking at the fruit of wisdom. And I think in modern society, we think wisdom is like this old, decrepit, very ponderous, very somber thing. It's very solemn. But actually, if we look at Proverbs 3:13, I've got it here. We just want to quickly read it out. This is the NLT version. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding. And another translation, they say wisdom is happiness. And I was like,
that's brilliant, isn't it?
It's phenomenal. Like, just the concept that wisdom is happiness. You know, we all talk about the pursuit of happiness. Mm-hmm. Well, that's actually the pursuit of wisdom, which is the pursuit of God, which just all links beautifully together. And so I started going, okay, well, if wisdom is happiness, and we look at Isaiah 11:2, it's one of the spirits of God.
Yeah.
I was like, well, what does wisdom sound like? And I started listening in the spirit, and I just, it's hard for me to quantify, but for me, it sounded like someone tap dancing on giant piano keys in the ground. That's what I got the sense of. Just this really happy, joyful, playful sound in the spirit. Mm. And it just swept around me, and God just took me up, and he's like, this is wisdom. Wisdom is joy. Wisdom is happiness. And I was like, why do we not pursue wisdom if that's the fruit?
Mm. Selah.
You know?
And you're suddenly then opening the door to pull together a lot of other scriptures that are emotional well-being scriptures. Mm-hmm. So the joy of salvation, where David praise that emotional prayer for a restoration of emotions, restore to me the emotional feeling of my salvation, which is joyous. You're layering then, or I'm layering, or the Bible is layering, wisdom is happiness. Salvation is joyous. That you can love, now in Psalm 45 verse 7, that you can love righteousness, and that you can have this remarkable thrill of your heart towards righteousness. Or let's go into the New Testament, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. And the sense of emotional thrill, emotional wellness, emotional stature that we all want to aim at, of happiness, joy, peace, that are all in and around the things of God, and that we make Christianity and our faith boring, more somber than it should be, losing its childlike awe and wonder, that we make grown-upness something that is redacted into dullness, rather than growing up in Christ, actually being more happy, more joyous,
more exhilarating, and actually it's wilder. We think of children being happy, but mature saints of God who are wise are happy because wisdom is happiness. As fascinating flip of what your emotional status should be. Mm-hmm. And I know life is tough. And I know as we age, we deal with increasingly difficult things that you never would put on a child. But actually, our emotional status should be completely different than it is if we're maturing rightly, Erin. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I can't help but thinking of, we've had a lot of prophetic words lately about wildness and yes. rewilding. And I actually think that there's a relationship between wisdom and wilding. And like you're saying, Emma, about actually living in that place of childlikeness with the Lord, mm-hmm. even as you become, that should be our state, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what our age is there's an agelessness to doing life with God. Mm-hmm. Yes. And actually, when you're rooted in wisdom, when you understand the precepts of the Lord, that creates the space you need to run in the full wildness that he has for us. Mm. Because there's no questions or doubts. And in a way, it's understanding the boundaries that the Lord has put in place for our own good. And when you understand the mm-hmm. value of that, you understand the boundaries that he creates for us, then you can run wildly. You can run in freedom because you know that at your foundation, I trust in the wisdom of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I embrace the wisdom of the Lord. And so that gives the freedom then to run in the wild directions mm-hmm. that he leads you in, because you aren't then weighed down with, you know, things like fear might arise and try to hit mm-hmm. at you, but you turn your mind to the truth of the wisdom of God. And it keeps you running forward into those more wild places. Mm-hmm. And there is obviously conversations. Wild can, in Christianity and the Christian circle, can seem like a bad word, you know, mm-hmm. because we have the perception that actually wisdom dictates that therefore I sit calmly, stoically, mm-hmm. rationally. mm-hmm. My emotions are always in check. Mm-hmm. Yes. But actually, God is passionate as well as wise.
I think that's interesting play on words there, because I actually don't think that the wisdom of God is always rational. Mm-hmm. In actual fact, the New Testament is very clear that he uses wisdom to shame mm-hmm. within the earth, the foolishness of mm-hmm. man, mm-hmm. and that what man values mm-hmm. is often foolish, and we value stoic behavior, and we value enlightenment rationale. Mm-hmm. Whereas how often does God ask you to do something that's back to front and upside down mm-hmm. to lead you, mm-hmm. that you are hurling your trust into his ways, which are not rational, but they are wise.
Yeah.
And it's joyous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we often confuse wisdom with a religious spirit. Because
whoa, go there.
That's true. Because, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, oh, that stoicness, that sitting, you know, really respectfully and still, it's mm-hmm. like, that's not wisdom. You're actually just under the religious spirit, you know? And so it's going, okay, wisdom, if we look at the Bible, according to Proverbs, you know, it's joyful. It's happiness. Joyful and happiness is not sitting still in a pew. Joyful and happiness is running wild with wisdom. It's that getting up. It's that worshiping God with our bodies. Mm-hmm. It's that I will do whatever God tells me to do, because true wisdom comes from God. And the fear of the Lord is true wisdom. We see that in Proverbs mm-hmm. and we see that in Job. And so it's going, okay, I'm going to fear the Lord beyond the fear of man. Therefore, if God tells me to just do something outrageous, you know, for me, when I came here, I've been here 3 years now, I left a very well-paying job at Samsung in yes. the middle of COVID, and I moved countries during lockdown. Okay, it was just England to Scotland. It sounds more dramatic than, you know, it actually was.
Well, I can tell you, it is a culture shock.
Yeah, England still to Scotland. A culture shock. But, you know, that wasn't wise. And my family were beside themselves, because we're in a global COVID, you know, pandemic. I'm in a national lockdown. I'm leaving one job to go to someone that they had no concept of because they're not Christians. To them, that was not wise.
Yeah.
But to me, it was wisdom, because I was fearing the Lord. and I was moving in obedience to him. Mm-hmm. And so it's coming back to the blueprint for the life that you love. I would make that decision every day of the week again. There is not mm-hmm. one day that goes past that I am so grateful and joyful mm-hmm. that I took that leap of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I have happiness in my life because I walked with the wise, I walked with wisdom, I walked with God.
Mm-hmm. I actually think there's a skill as you age in this, because legitimately there can be jadedness that sneaks in literally because we deal with some very significant unpleasantnesses as we grow. Mm-hmm. And I think, unfortunately, we see modeled by this concept of the man of God or the woman of God, those who are in seniority in leadership. It disturbs me actually greatly. We see modeled there a false sobriety and a false elevation of your leadership position, that you become other, that you become unrelatable, mm-hmm. that you become this demure sense of set apart, which we then have as the aim, where there's no fun, there's no relational ease, mm-hmm. there's no sense of authenticity. It's all lost. And we model this concept of leadership, and we model this concept of the man or woman of God so badly that it loses wisdom, joy, salvation, joy, righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost mm-hmm. to this somber set apartness, mm-hmm. this otherness that makes holiness look like something it's not. Mm-hmm. And I think what you say there is, we're the religious spirit. We've put the religious spirit so front and center yeah. mm-hmm. that we lose quizzical, joyous, relational authenticity for the sake of, I want to be respected and honored as a significant person. Can I tell you this? I have learnt that I can go around the world, I can giggle my way around the world joyously with the wisdom of God and still bring punching heavyweight prophetic words.
100%. Mm-hmm. And it's literally scriptural. Like yes. that is one of the other fruits. It's Proverbs 3:35. You will also receive an inheritance of honor. That's, you will get that as a person who is wise.
Yes.
So you get happiness, you get joy, and you get honor. The two are not mutually exclusive.
Come on. Mm.
So you have to go hand in hand. I am going to have joy with the Lord. I am going to have the wisdom of God. And it's going to be okay because I'm still going to have that glory inheritance as promised in scripture.
Erin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I loved the, you have a great example, Roz, of what exactly wisdom is. Mm-hmm. Your fruit. I just think it's a brilliant way for people to latch on to really what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, wisdom, it's a spirit, and that can be nebulous sometimes. So I love there's a colloquial definition which I enjoy, because the dictionary definition of wisdom is it's applied knowledge. And the colloquial saying definition, which I enjoy, is that knowledge is that tomato is a fruit and wisdom is not putting a tomato in a fruit salad. So that's the applied knowledge, because yeah. tomato would suck with watermelon. That's all I've got to say. But it's just kind of coming and going, I've got the knowledge from scripture. I've read what I need to do in the behaviors of wise people. I now need to apply it in my life, because there's no point having knowledge if you're not going to apply it, because, that is not the way of the wise.
Yes.
Very good. Now let's push into this thought that you heard wisdom.
Yeah.
Go there, because now we're talking about hearing in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, the most common question I am ever asked is, like bar none, it's stridently streaks ahead of all other questions that are ever raised, which is how do I see in the spirit?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But here you're taking us in a different direction. How do I hear in the spirit? And you're saying hearing is happy, and you could hear the spirit of wisdom.
Yes.
And you said it sounded like,
well, to me, it sounded like someone tap dancing on giant piano keys in the ground. It just was joyful and playful. Just quickly on anyone who is like, I don't know how to see in the spirit, just in my role as broadcasting manager, we do have School of the Spirit on our YouTube channel, which is available for free. Head to that, watch that, full of great activations and tips. Just a little promo there. But
always the broadcasting manager hat on, Roz. Very good.
But kind of like how I hear in the spirit. So it's something that I started to move in, because if we think about the senses in the spirit, well, we should be able to taste in the spirit. We should be able to see in the spirit. We should be able to hear in the spirit. And we've got this amazing woman on staff called Dee Bradbury, who plays our drums. And she often talks about how she hears the heaven's drums.
The rhythms.
Yeah, the rhythms of heaven.
Timings of heaven, yeah.
And so, you know, we had this great conversation of like, well, what does that look like? Is it external? Is it internal? You know, let's give language to that.
Let's pause that. So internal being a sense of a sound.
Yeah.
External being the audible voice of God.
Yes.
Or I literally heard it through my natural ears.
Exactly.
Which were layered with my spiritual ears, versus I had the impression of a rhythm.
Exactly. I'm so glad Emma is here. She really helps in interpreting what I'm saying. Yeah. But yes, it really is that, you know, are we hearing it with our physical ears, mm-hmm. or are we hearing spiritual sounds with almost like our internal or spiritual ears? And both of us agreed we hear it with our spiritual ears. We hear it on the inside of ourselves.
A sense of a sound rather than an audible sound would be exactly how I would differentiate that. The sense of the voice of God rather than the audible voice of God or the rhythm of God. Okay.
Exactly. So, you know, when I'm hearing in the spirit, I sit quiet, and for me, I close my eyes just because it helps me focus upon...
Kill distractions.
Exactly. Yes. Kill distractions. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, God, Holy Spirit, can you please reveal to me what this sounds like? And mm-hmm. I believe God loves questions. We don't ask God enough questions as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you listeners, like, take a moment, stop, close your eyes and ask Holy Spirit to reveal to you what the spirit of wisdom sounds like.
Very good homework.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Let us know. You know,
so let's push this and I'll ask each of you, are you more seer orientated for sight, Erin, or are you more hearing orientated? How does revelation or communion with God more instinctively work?
I think I'm probably more instinctively going to see. So it's almost like God shows me movies.
Okay.
And so
visions.
Yeah. That type of thing.
Outside of you, where you open your eyes and you see it externally, or inside of you where something plays on the inside of your mind?
Yeah, it's probably both. So if it's kind of just my time that I've pulled away with the Lord, mm-hmm. it would be more internal. My day to day, he will show me things kind of more. It's not even, it's like I'm just, I have the sense of what I'm seeing. If I'm looking at somebody, mm-hmm. I'm like, I see an angel there. God show me more. And then it will be more internal. He'll give me the details kind of internally. So I had an interesting experience where I heard the spirit of wisdom, and it was internal.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dancing. I was suddenly very aware that I was with wisdom. I was with the spirit of wisdom in the Highlands of Scotland. And it was like God wanted me to experience what it was to be sort of communing with the spirit of wisdom.
It's really important that we say that Proverbs personifies wisdom as a female.
Mm-hmm.
And then commands us to marry wisdom. Now, these are fascinating proverbs mm-hmm. in that the push is into a covenant, because it's personified as something that's marryable.
Mm-hmm.
You're pushed by the word of God into covenanting, deep connection, deep relationship with wisdom, which Isaiah then layers as one of the key seven facets of God's character mm-hmm. in Isaiah 11, or we would call that one of the spirits of God, as it's written in Isaiah chapter 11. Mm-hmm. So it's this need to commune, connect with an attribute of the nature of God in a very certain covenanted way, marry wisdom, mm-hmm. as Proverbs says. So mm-hmm. I just want to pull the scriptures together so that we're pulled into this. I need to have a connection with this. And another scripture says, buy wisdom, get wisdom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the whole sense of moving into connection and covenant with the wisdom of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you're so, and separately, completely not chatted about, you have it as dancing piano keys, Roz, and you have it as a Highland fling.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. It was interesting because I could hear a very steady beat of a drum
mm-hmm.
the whole time. And I'm, you know, it's that timing sense. But on top of it, it was this very cheerful, light, uh-huh. dancing type music, very tinkly, very joyful. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just that awareness. And it was that sense of God. You know, he told me after you had to commune with the spirit so that you can start to recognize it more. And in mm-hmm. hearing it, you have a deep, I did recognize afterwards, it was like in that encounter of hearing it, mm-hmm. I had a deeper understanding of what exactly wisdom is. And it was that sort of that revelation for me to understand that it's to be wise isn't to be somber and serious. It's actually mm-hmm. to recognize the weight. But in carrying the weight and carrying it well, you are in the joy mm-hmm. and in the dancing and in sort of, it's life-giving.
Yeah.
It was a very life-giving moment that I had with the spirit of wisdom. And so, yeah, it's that, it's fascinating, isn't it? How just a few moments of hearing this and experiencing a visual, you know, piece with it as well, suddenly I feel like I have a great appreciation for the spirit of wisdom.
Isn't it fascinating that you can read the scripture and then when you, which is one thing which you have to do, but when you ask to encounter the scripture
mm-hmm.
rather than just read it, mm-hmm. you're suddenly in a different level of understanding. I want to, because it's alive and active. So you're saying there, Erin, that there was visual, there was audible, there was encounter, it was internal, mm-hmm. but it changed you. Yours was internal, audible as well, Roz?
Yeah, I think for me, I tend to both see and hear. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the sort of person, I don't know if anyone else gets this, I've never actually said this. Almost every day I'll wake up and I'll have a song in my head. Almost every day.
Yes.
And it will always be a particular lyric will set mm-hmm. the prophecy for the day. And so mm-hmm. I was like, okay. So this morning, for example, there's a song that's like, I'm going to build a boat, even though I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm going to let it rain. And it's like, well, that says a lot about today. You know, I'm like, Lord, I'm going to go and I'm going to do the thing that you told me to do. And I'm going to trust that you're just going to come through for whatever it is that you need. So I often hear music, which is actually a form of prophecy for me.
Mm.
And then I'm like, it sounds unusual when you start to talk about how God encounters you out loud. But I do get a high visual as well. And so with wisdom, it was more of an auditory internal than a uh-huh. visual internal. But yes, I both see and hear in the spirit quite normally.
I have to say, I start very differently. I'm wired very differently. And the first thing I do is sight.
Oh.
And it's always external.
Mm.
So the first question that I usually have is, where are you, Trinity? That would be normally my first question. And I become aware in the spirit dynamic of the position of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit around me and what they are doing. And I see them externally with natural eyes positioned around and what they are up to. And my first communion with them is in proximity to them physically in the Spirit. And I will be aware of the triune Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, That's proximity and sight, sight and proximity. And you tend to get then, or I tend to get shape, form, color. I get their spiritual geography because I can see where they are, what they're doing. And it's very relational because you are in each other's physical space. The next thing I will do is to be with them where they are doing what they're doing. So there's some sort of movement. So it's sight and movement, and then it's conversation. But I would be very much a seer first before I would ever be either nabby, wordsmith, or hearing. But the visual clues are there for me first.
Love that.
Yes. And signs, I'd be very aware of like angel wing signs or rhythmic movements in the spirit. I'm clicking my fingers because it's all, I click my fingers a lot to get the whole being into the timings, or a room. I will click if I'm leading a room. It's annoying if I'm not leading the room and I'm clicking because that irritates others who are. But I'm clicking because I'm aware of a pace that God wants us to go at that we're not in or that I'm not in. So it just works very differently. But interesting that we all come slightly differently to encounter. It's probably quite personality driven person, or we've trained ourselves. Can I say, I think we've trained ourselves.
Yeah. I think, you know, how we receive revelation is so personal. And, but I love the fact that, you know, we are a body and, you know, obviously if you talk about the global church, then each, you know, member has a different role, but in regards to like the individual, I love that God has made us individual and then encounters us according to how he has made us, that made us.
Yes.
And I think he has such joy in that, and he has such happiness and delight in that. And so, especially for anyone listening, I want to encourage you, you know, however you encounter the Lord, rejoice in that.
Yes.
Have fun with that. Explore that.
Very helpful, Ross.
What's the furthest you can push that?
Yes. And I think there are two take homes that I would want our listeners to hold on to tightly. And one is, if you are not in a lightness, a happiness, a joyous peacefulness, you're slightly one step outside of best practice of scripture. Now, I'm not saying that we don't lament, because that clearly is in scripture, or that we don't groan like Romans 8 tells us to. The whole book of Lamentations, after all, is a book of lament. But that our dominant setting in God is the happiness of wisdom, is the hearing of the joy, is the emotion of my salvation, which is joyous, is the atmosphere of the kingdom, righteousness, joy, and peace, is the love of that rather than resentment of the righteousness of God. It's the love of that from Psalm 45. And that actually, if you're not in that, you got to readjust to that and learn the emotional status of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's a big learning. And secondly, that you're supposed to not just know it, but encounter it by sight, by hearing internally, externally, which is an emotional place, an encounter place. We've all done it slightly differently, that is open to us as citizens of the kingdom of God. So I bless you into a new emotional journey, and I bless you into a new encounter journey. As we wrap up for today, thank you once again for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. We will see you next time. Bless you. Bye. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast
For more activation of the power of God in your life, make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the PowerTV.app.